You know, when the precious people of the Philippines and my friends from the Philippines, when they call me, and I told you when they call, they don't quite understand that there is quite a bit of time difference between us and them. And so when they call, it's usually 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning when they call, because it's 3 or 4 in the afternoon for them. And so they're thinking, well, hey, I'm up, everybody's probably up. And so when I get a text coming through, they'll send a text, good afternoon, hope things are blessed, and happy birthday, Merry Christmas, you know, whatever they, you know, any kind of message they want to send to me. But they, several of them will end the message, and they'll end the text, they'll end the Facebook, they'll end it in this way: blessings from the other side. They'll always end it by saying, blessings to you from the other side. I got one just the other day, and she ended it by saying, Bishop, we send blessings to you from the other side. And I began to think of that, and I said, man, there's got to be a word in there. There's got to be a message in there somewhere. And so the best book to go on to when I think about a journey, the best book there is in the Word of God, considering a journey, because we're all on a journey together. This whole 2019, saints, whether you realize or not, it's been a journey. And some of you, it's been a good journey. Others of you, it's been a trying journey. It's been a tough journey. It's been a challenging journey for some of you this morning. But I want to tell you something. As we enter into this next year, I just want to say blessings to you from the other side. Because in order to get to the other side, there is a journey that you and I have to take together. So I want to look at the book of Joshua this morning. The book of Joshua chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at verse 8 this morning. Joshua chapter 4, verse 8 this morning. You guys doing good? Is everybody well? Ready to get into the Word? Amen. 3 of you. Ready to get into the Word? You help me preach, we'll have a good time this morning, all right? Joshua chapter 4, verse 8. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And as the Lord had told Joshua, they carried him over with them in their camp. And there they put them down. And Joshua set up 12 stones and had them in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they were there to this day. And now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people. Just as Moses had directed Joshua, the people hurried. And verse 11 says, as soon as all of them had crossed, everybody say cross, the ark of the Lord, the priests came to the other side. And while the people watched, the men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over ready for battle. And in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them, about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. Now I want to unpack this scripture with you this morning. I want to share with you, and I want to talk about with you this morning that God is taking you and I to new levels of understanding this year. To new levels of understanding this year. God told me to tell you that it is coming your way. In my time of prayer yesterday, and in my time of study yesterday, in my time up here last night, and the Lord and I had a wonderful time last night. In between LSU winning and Clemson Tigers winning. I can promise you this, the Tigers are going to win the national championship now. We just don't know which ones, all right? And so in between those games, I was up here and I was in prayer and in study. And the Lord told me, he said, tell the people that new levels of understanding is going to be coming to them. And so today what I want to do is unpack the book of Joshua. And let's go walk in with Joshua. Because what Joshua is in right now is a transitional moment. See, some people handle transition well. Some people are not built for transition. But Joshua is a type of person that is willing to move forward into a new place that is different. He's willing to move forward into a new place that is even strange to him. I want to ask you today, is there anyone here today that is willing to face some uncertainty in order to find the freedom that you want in life today? Amen? And so what we've got to look at, when I was younger, I would think about the new year and how the new year would roll in. When I was younger, Kenny G came out with the old Lang Syne when he began to play his little horn. You've heard that. And then all of the history things, and that CD came out. I think I still got it somewhere. And he would play that, and for the new year rolling in, and I began to think, and I would always try as a young kid to stay up, because I was always intrigued about the new year. The new year, man, what is going to happen? The new year is coming in. Something great is going to happen. But what I remember doing is I remember building it bigger in my mind when the new year comes around, only to find out that the only thing that is different is the dot goes away. When 11:59 comes, and all of a sudden, the ball begins to drop. You begin to put the chapstick on. You begin to put the breath spray in your mouth. Pucker up, buttercup. All right? And here comes the time, and it's dropping, and people are counting, and wherever you may be, and it's a happy new year. And then once the confetti finally settles, the only thing that's different is the dot is gone. That's the only thing that is different. And I remember when the year 2000 come around. Remember the scare? Computers are going to stop working. Cars are going to be stalled out. It's going to be a madhouse. But what happened was I remember the dot went away and life continued on. The dot went away, life continued on. I woke up the same way. The next day was what I made of the next day. Nothing big happened. My computer still worked. My vehicle still moved. And so what I'm saying is this. Most transitions are anticlimactic. You like that word, don't you? Most transitions are anticlimactic. There is more excitement and expectation leading up to an event versus the actual event itself. All right? So the buildup is typically better than the actual event. And so, you know, people, I talked to somebody the other day. We built up the Christmas and build it up, and this is going to be the best Christmas for many of you, and it's going to be a wonderful time, and you're going to be spending it with family and friends and all this kind of great stuff. And I come around to several of you and said, how was your Christmas? You said, it's all right. It's all right. The crescendo was built up for when it was over. It was all right. Wasn't bad. People have, you know, they get so excited about, I'm getting married, I'm getting married. Oh, this is going to be great. The next morning, it's fun. That's your wedding, wasn't mine, all right? Mine was exciting from moment A to today. It's been exciting. Is my wife in here yet? There she is. Yeah, it's exciting. Still building crescendo. It's great. But your wedding, you're like, it's all right. Everything's all right. Everything's all right. I'm still working on her. I'm still trying to make her the kind. No, I'm teasing. No, we're not having that conversation. But people build it up in their mind as being something so big. And then when it's over, you're thinking, it's all right. Listen to me today, that you can cross over from day to night, from single to married, from poor to rich, and not even notice that you transition to the new place and not even feel it. And so what I'm saying to you today is the experience of being there is much different than the expectation that you had. And so when 2020 is coming around, man, right now some of you are beginning to build an expectation. And that's what I want to talk to you about here this morning, where the new state is not as grand as the experience of getting there was. Listen, Joshua is in the middle of a generational transition in this story. If you do not understand how long someone has wandered in the wilderness, you will never understand the excitement of their deliverance that they're having. And so see this passage of Joshua. There is much symbolism and significance of this moment. For some, there is much significance just making it to 2020. Someone in this room in 2019, man, you are grateful that this year is almost over. You're grateful that you've made it this far today. Some of you this morning, listen, you've contemplated leaving a marriage in 2019, but you stayed and you stuck it out. Some of you in this room wasn't given much hope from the doctors this year, but you're still here today. So please respect the fact that there are people this morning that are loudly praising God with excitement and with crescendo in their lives. Why? Because they're excited they made it this far. And they didn't give up, and God did not give up on them. And so in the journey of Joshua that I want to look at this morning is I begin to go to Joshua chapter 1. And I begin to see the journey and the transition that Joshua had to go through. So I go to Joshua chapter 1 and I see that this is a word of inspiration. Everybody say inspiration. Let's try it again. Everybody say the word inspiration. All right. So this is where God is inspiring Joshua. This is where he's giving him the pep talk. In verse 5 of chapter 1, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to your ancestors to give to them. Be strong, be very courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Great. God is inspiring Joshua, telling him, Joshua, I'm with you. You can do this. I'm behind you, Joshua. I made a promise to your ancestors, and I'm making the same promise to you and to your children. Joshua, move forward. Then I go to Joshua chapter 2, and I see the investigation where Joshua goes in, and he begins to spy out the land. See, Joshua did it a little bit different than what Moses did. Moses sent 10 spies in, but this time Joshua says, I'm only sending 2 spies in. To investigate Jericho. The key lesson here this morning is this. When this new year comes around and it's a time for a transition in your life, it's important that you shrink your circle and you confine to only the people who can have the faith with you through the season that you're going through. What am I saying? I'm saying be careful who you camp with this year. Because if they don't have the same kind of faith that you have to get through difficulties and through the season, you don't need them in your life. They're just dragging you behind. Because if you are with the wrong people this season, you may never get to the other side. So Joshua chapter 1 is about inspiration. Joshua chapter 2 is about an investigation, and he's checking the land out. Joshua chapter 3, we learn instruction, where God is telling Joshua to get ready, to consecrate yourself, because you are going to do amazing things, Joshua. And the moment that you make the decision, saints of God, that you're going to make room in your heart for God, you can expect results right then. And so God begins to give Joshua instructions. And he begins to tell him and give him the stages of this journey that he's about to go on. See, the truth of the matter is you can get stuck in any of these stages and still not have things work out for you. Still not have things work out for you. Inspiration alone will not get the things done. I can stand up here today and I can tell you God is going to be with you. God is going to take care of you. March into 2020 boldness and with faith and believing that nothing's going to stand against you and no weapon formed against you will prosper and that God is going to take care of you. He's going to hold you in his righteous right hand. And when you go through the waters, he will not sweep over you. The fire will not burn you and the flame will not kindle upon you. I can tell you this stuff and have you to amen and get excited. But listen, inspiration alone will not get things done and not get you to the other side. Investigating what God can do in your life will not bring you over to the other side. Listening to instruction alone will not bring you over. But this fourth thing that I want to speak about this morning is what you need to be able to make it. In Joshua chapter 4, we see that Joshua took the initiative. Joshua took the initiative. See, this is your season to initiate change. Okay. See, I think there's a slow echo that's coming. It's said here, and then I have to wait for the wave just to kind of get over to where you're at. This is the year for change in your life. There it is. See, it's happening. This year, listen, I like to say it this way. Don't wait, initiate. Don't wait, but initiate. See, do you want to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years? Absolutely not. And while Joshua is in this season of transition, there is a geographical picture of things that are happening. For the generation under Moses, they went around and they went around. As a matter of fact, if you've got an actual Bible with you this morning, you can go back to the back cover and you begin to flip and look at the maps and you'll see the route that they had to take. And you'll see that it's just like this. Around and around and around, because that's what the people were doing during this time. They were just wandering around and around and around. And this is the same for us in our life journey. But Joshua was a little bit different. Joshua did not go around. He says, no, this is the time. This is the day. This is the year to initiate. That we've already seen the scenery. I'll never forget when Kimberly and I were getting married in Fort Worth, and I wasn't used to the traffic in the area in Fort Worth. I mean, where I'm from, they just now put a red light in. One red light in front of the fire station. They just put that in a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden, now I'm coming to Fort Worth. And I've got a bunch of guys from Carolina, and we're in there, and she tells us, gives us directions and says, this is where the church is at in Fort Worth. If you want to marry me, don't be late. Well, me and my buddies get into the car and we drive. What is that loop? 820? 820 in Fort Worth. So we drive. And Gerald, we drive. And we drive. And one of my buddies in the back, Brian, and Brian says, J-Rod, I've seen that U-Haul truck that they have spinning. I know I've already seen it. I said, no, it can't be the same U-Haul truck. It's got to be a different one. Sure enough, we made the loop again, and we saw that same U-Haul truck they have up there again. We went on 820 multiple times already, and I'm thinking, I could already be back in South Carolina at this time. And we just continued to go on the journey and continued to spin our wheels and continued and went over. And finally, we found the place. And you know the story from there, all right? We had to have marriage counseling, but it was okay. And so Joshua's saying, you know what? I'm not here to just go around in circles. I'm not here just to walk around in this journey. I've done that long enough. See, some of you this morning, you've already been saying that I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. You've been saying that since the year of 2000. Now we're coming to 2020, and you're still saying, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to have this, and I want to make this change. When are you going to make the change? So this year is the year to initiate. This year is the year to go forward. This year is the year. Don't wait. What? Initiate. Oh, that sounded better last night when you wasn't even in here. Don't wait. But Joshua did not go around. This time Joshua said, I'm not spinning my wheels. Joshua said, this time I'm going in. Listen, it takes faith. It takes faith to initiate. It takes faith to move forward. It takes faith to transition to the other side. And in Joshua 3 and 4, you see rehearsals of crossing over. We're always in various stages of our lives of the transition. For the Israelites, the first transition was from slaves to survivors. It's one thing to come out of slavery of your sin, but to come into the grace of God. And that's not all. The Hebrew people went from survivors to settlers. And now we're moving in and we're taking over. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, we are called to assume a new kingdom, a land that we are told to possess, the cures that we are called to summon, and the light that we're told to shine. We can't do that as a church if all we do is talk. I mean, if you know talk is cheap, we've got to initiate. We're called to be the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We're called to make a difference in the people around us. This is the year, Trinity Harvest, to initiate. And to quit going around in circles and quit talking about what you want to do for the Lord and walk in by faith and do it for the kingdom of God. If you believe that this morning, let's give the Lord an honor. Can't clap. It takes faith to cross over. Say that with me this morning. It takes faith to cross over. It takes faith to break out of your circumference of certainty. It's a certain kind of faith that you gotta have when you have circled the mountain long enough and you're now ready to come down and to charge straight in. You can't just have a little baby faith. You got to have a sure faith about you. When you have had your heart broken and you've trusted in people and you now have faith to put your hope in God, it takes faith to have that again. This is a kind of faith that only makes sense where? On the other side. On the other side. The kind of faith that may not make sense to you right now is going to make sense when you decide to initiate and get on the other side. See, some things to you right now in life make no sense. Some of you have went through things this year that make no sense to you. Some of you have had things that have happened to you that made no sense. Some of you had to endure some things that made no sense why you had to endure them. You know, I was thinking that Kimberly's grandmother, she makes quilts, and man, I love these quilts, and I have my favorite. I have one of my favorites that she's made probably for Kimberly, but I stole it. And I've seen this thing because I've just worn it out. I mean, I've worn it out, and you can see the underneath side of this, and it's already got the backing on it. It's kind of been pulled away, and you can see. And so the underneath side of this quilt, man, there's threads, there's colors, and they go like this, and they go like this, and they go up and down, and you're looking at the underside of a quilt. And you're thinking, well, this makes no sense until you take the quilt and you turn it around. And then you begin to see the pattern that it was meant to design the whole season and the whole reason that it was there. So I want you to understand this morning that some of you are going through things. And right now in 2019, you're thinking, well, this makes no sense on my job. This made no sense to my health. These stitches made no sense. It made no sense why my marriage had to go through this. It made no sense why my heart had to be broken like this. It made no sense. I'm here to tell somebody today that you're going to understand, and there's going to be a better understanding for you on the other side, because there's a blessing that is awaiting you. Where? Not here, on the other side. When you cross over and you put forth the initiative to say, you know what? I've spun my wheels here and I've talked long enough. I'm ready for something different. Hear me today. You are a masterpiece of God. You are a masterpiece of God. And God is doing something in your life that will make sense. Where? On the other side. On the other side, Moses only had enough faith to get out of Egypt. But Joshua had the faith required to get across the Jordan to the other side. Are you with me this morning? So it takes a special kind of faith to cross over. Not a comfortable faith, but a faith that's going to pull at you a little more. Not a complacent type of faith, but a faith that will look forward. A faith that will not look back. See, we don't have time to talk about the Ark of the Covenant this morning and get into all of this here that is mentioned in Joshua. But just understand that the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And the Hebrew people needed to walk out into the Jordan River before the waters divided. There's a message in that by itself. But this morning I want to read to you Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you know will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Stop. Why the distance? I thought God wants me to be close to Him. Listen, I begin to look at this and I begin to see that God wants you to not get comfortable with where He's at with you, because He's always wanting to point you down the road. He's always wanting to point you in your future. To fight all the psychological barriers this morning, you're going to have five types of faith this morning. And I want to share them with you real quick. I know our time's limited this morning, so I want to try to get through these right fast. The five psychological barriers that you have to fight this coming year. You're going to have to fight with this coming year. Number one, you're going to have to have a faith that looks forward. Not a faith that looks backwards, but a faith that will keep your eyes forward. Consider Moses. Moses died. Everybody in 2019, everybody in this room this morning, you lost something this year. You lost something this year. Maybe a loved one. Maybe a friend. Maybe a family member. You lost maybe a dream. You lost your vision. You lost a job. Whatever it was, you lost something. And in this context, God points to what is ahead, so the Hebrew people will not be fixated on the things that they lost. Listen to me. So our eyes have to be fixed on things forward. You can't stay stuck here. And I'm not trying to be insensitive this morning, but I know some of you went through some stuff and you've been through some heartaches and some heartbreaks and moments you had to scratch your head, but you cannot stay here. You've got to put your eyes forward. You cannot let what you lost keep you from moving forward. If you have to, if I have to shove you, pull you, pick you up, and carry you, whatever we've got to do, you've got to move forward. As a matter of fact, do me a favor. Just kind of grab the elbow of the person next to you and just kind of give them a shove and tell them this morning, you can't stay stuck where you're at. You've got to move forward and have a faith that always moves forward. See, I'm looking forward to it, even though we do not know what it is right now.